we're in Jagannath Puri, and Mahaprabhu is just taking darshan of Lord Jagannath, and all the devotees headed by Advaita Prabhu are floating in an ocean of bliss. Dui dike satchala nischala Jagannath deki deki bhakta goshti haya dandapat. The devotees fell flat, offering obeisances to both the moving and non-moving Lord of the universe. Dui dike satchala, satchala and anishchala. The one that moves is achala sa, the one with movement. And what dui dike satchala nishchala Jagannath deki bhakta goshti haya dandapat. Dandapat means dandavat. So they looked forward in the temple of Jagannath, Sri Mandir and Puri, and they saw all Prajendra Nanda and Shamsundar Krishna, and all the devotees fell flat, the Lord of the universe. Then they turned around, they saw Gauranga, and they saw, this is also Jagadish, this is also Jagannath, this is also the Lord of the universe. And when they saw Lord Chaitanya, they also fell flat. And the moving Jagannath, the moving Lord of the universe, the moving Jagannath is of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the non-moving or stationary Jagannath is in the temple, Sri Jagannath Dev. So this is what's being said here. Hare Krishna. So now next verse. So all the devotees are lying flat in obeisances in the temple, offering obeisances in two directions. One direction to Jagannath, one direction to Gauranga. Kashi Mishani Jagannath Tera Galar Malani Yanga Busha Kailena Savar. Kashi Mishra brought Jagannath's garlands and decorated the devotees. Angabhusha, he ornamented their limbs with a mala, Jagannath mala. Malalaya Prabhu Mahabhaya Bhakti Kari Shiksha Guru Narayana Nyasi Veshadari. The original spiritual master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Narayan, dressed as a sannyasi, Namo Narayan, accepted the garland of Lord Jagannath with great reverence and devotion. Maha Abhaya Bhakti Kari. Mahalaya Prabhu Mahabhaya Bhakti Kari. Shiksha Guru Narayana Nyasi Veshadari. Says that Mahaprabhu accepted the Jagannath Prasadi flower mala, pushpa mala, with Maha Abhaya Bhakti Kari. With great devotion, bhakti, and Mahabhaya is translated as reverence. But it means that he was completely free from any kind of fear. And that was indicated in the first here where it says that Shiksha Guru Narayana Nyasi Vesha Dari. He didn't have any fear that by accepting that garland he would relegate his position as Gauranga Mahaprabhu to an inferior position to Jagannath. That's why it's established here. It says that he accepted the garland. Lord Chaitanya, who is Narayan, Shiksha Guru Narayan, Nyasi Veshadari. He was accepting the Vesh, or the dress of a sannyasi. But he didn't have any abhay. He was completely fearless in accepting Jagannath's Mahagarland. Generally, the garland is, prasadi is given to the junior from the senior. The senior is the Purusha, or the enjoyer, then the prasada is given to the servants or the dependents. So Jagannath would be considered the Lord. If we receive his prasadam, then we're the devotees of the Lord, inferior. But here it's saying that Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, is not an ordinary jiva or bhakta like us. He's actually the spiritual master of the universe, Shiksha Guru, and he's Narayan. Nyasi Veshadari, he's accepted the Vesh, of a sannyasi appearing as if he's a soul, a conditioned soul of this material world, who has entered an ashram after grihastha ashram and taken sannyas ashram. So he's a member of the limited realm of conditional beings. But when Vrindavan Das Thakur says he's Shiksha Guru and Narayan, that distinguishes him. And he didn't have any fear also, because generally a sannyasi is afraid of sense enjoyment. So flower garlands and scents and unguents and sandalwood paste are generally not accepted by Dandi sannyasis of the Shankar school. They consider that they have to be ekagrita, man ekagrita. Their mind must be fixed always on Brahman, sarvakalvidam brahma, tattvamasi. And therefore they strictly restrain all their senses from enjoying the objects of the senses. So sandalwood paste and flower garlands and nice oils, sugandhi or ittar that's offered to the deities, is extremely stimulating to the eyes and sense of touch, and what to speak of the smell. So they don't wear garlands. So Lord Chaitanya was also not afraid. Prabhu Malalaya, Prabhu Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he accepted that mala without any fear. Mahabhai Bhakti. Mahabhaya Bhakti Kari. Very interesting interplay here between Bhayam and Bhakti. Because if one has Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti, Vishnu Bhakti, then there's no fear. He's fearless. And it's a very interesting play also, because a sannyasi, one of the primary characteristics or Swarup Lakshana of a sannyasi, one in a sannyas ashram, is abhay. He's supposed to be fearless because he sees Brahman everywhere, and he is Brahman, he's eternal. Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. I am Brahman, so there's nothing to be afraid of, because I'm Sat and Chit, I'm eternal. Consciousness, Brahmananda. So he's fearless. I'll go anywhere in the jungle, here and there. So that's his quality. But he's afraid to enjoy his senses. It's a very nice point here. So now here's these garlands are being offered, and sandalwood or whatever, to Lord Chaitanya. But he's fearless. He's fearless in the sense of being a Dandi sannyasi, or a sannyas of the Varnashram order. And they said so many places in Gita, one should not take sannyas unless he's fearless. If he's afraid to go in the jungle or go here and there, or if he's afraid to go to Russia and preach, then he shouldn't take sannyas. So he has to be fearless. So that's, Lord Chaitanya certainly had that quality. Everyone knows that he went through Jharkhand forest in Orissa, border of Bihar, I believe. And he wasn't afraid of the tigers or the bears or the lions or deer or any of the jungle cobras and pythons and boa constrictors. He was rather in bliss, because he was really feeling that he was expressing and relishing his sannyas dharma of abhay. He was showing, yes, I am fearless. And you have to be pretty fearless to go into a jungle and walk down the jungle path surrounded by ferocious wild elephants and wild boar, and not like the circus elephants and the village pigs, but the wild boar are ferocious, and they have tusks, and they can just pick up a man and flip him in the air and pierce him with their tusks, kill him, a wild boar, wild pig. And at that time you say, haram, 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 how horrible, how horrible. Because it's Sanket Nam, you may get some liberation. Namavas. Haram, 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 haram. In the Arabic, Urdu language, this means how horrible, how horrible. Haram, haram. Well, you're saying, you know, Hare and Ram, so you get the benefit of that juxtapositioned juxtaposition syllables of Krishna's holy name, it gives you the full position of liberation. This is a special nijas sarva shakti of Krishna's holy name. Nam namakari bahuda nijas sarva shaktis. Unlimited power and potency. Mala laya prabhu mahabhaya bhakti kari. But now we see this interplay of bhakti and bhaya. Abhaya. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He was Abhay, Abhay Charan, Abhay Dey. One may not be a sannyasi, may be brahmachari or grihastha, vanaprast, or any position, any varna, any ashram, but if he's a Krishna bhakta, then he's also fearless. So bhakti itself, because bhakti means sharanagati. There's no sharanagati, there's no bhakti without sharanagati. And what is this? One of the six symptoms of sharanagati? Rakshishyatiti vishvaso guptritve varanam tatha. Rakshishyatiti vishvaso. Vishvas. There's two things we have in the Shastra. Shraddha and vishvas. And they're both different. Similar but different. We use the words interchangeably. Sometimes they say, oh, in Sanskrit we say shraddha. In Hindi we say vishvas. But actually, vishwas is also Sanskrit, and it's vishwa, shwa, vishwasan, means that shwasan means your breath. Shwasha means the breath. And vish means a special, what like we say, vishesh. Vishesh means a special form, a speciality. So the speciality of the breath. So when one has vishwas in Krishna, means that he's. Faith is called, faith can be pliable. There's something called Komala Shraddha. There's different degrees of faith. And if you read the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 17, you'll see there's three kinds of faith. There's Lokic, there's two categories and three and different branches. So Lokic faith means material faith, Lokic, of the Loka, of this world. And that's divided into Tamasic Shraddha, the Rajasic Shraddha, and Sattvic Shraddha. And then there's alokic or spiritual faith, and that is called, that is Shastriya Shraddha, Bhagavan Shraddha, Guru Shraddha, and like this, belief in God and belief in higher principles. So then you have Shraddha, but then it goes to Vishwas. Vishwas means an exceptional belief at the level of your very prana, at your level, as you breathe in and out, that's how much faith you have that God will protect you. That's why the six symptoms are surrender or rakshishyatiti vishwaso. It doesn't say rakshishyatiti shraddha so. Rakshishyatiti vishwas. There's sharanagati, six limbs of surrender mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and teachings of Lord Chaitanya, etc. So one is to, so if one is a bhakta, he has bhakti, devotion, and he's a bhakta, Krishna bhakta, Ram bhakta, then he has vishwas, firm pranic belief and conviction that Krishna will protect me everywhere. He is my protector, he is my only protector. Here, there, and everywhere. Bahir nishingho, ridaye nishingho. Yato, yato, yamitato nishingho. Bahir nishingho, ridaye nishingho. Nishinghamadim sharanam prapade. Sharanam means sharanagati. Sharanam prapade. I surrender and take shelter there. At Bhagavan Nishringa, Bhagavan Ram, Bhagavan Krishna. And therefore, Bahir Nishringa Uritaye, with outside of myself, within my heart, or outside of my heart, in my environment, or room, or village, or wherever I may go, my Bhagavan is there. My Raksha, my Raki is there. And we have Raki Bandhan. So he's there. And Yato, yato, yami, tato, nishinga, wherever I go, here and there. This is the symptom of a devotee. So here we have Prabhu, Mahaprabhu is the greatest devotee, the avatar of devotion, the perfect devotee, Mahaprabhu. And he is completely Maha-Abhay. He's in a very big, unlimited way. He's completely fearless because of his devotion. Malalaya Prabhu Maha-Abhaya Bhakti Kari Shiksha Guru Narayana Nyasi Veshadari. And by this principle of his intense bhakti and his fearlessness, he becomes a Shiksha Guru. He's instructing everyone, and he becomes a Shiksha Guru. When you realize the teaching, when you realize the principle of Sharanagati in bhakti, when your bhakti is mixed, we can put it another way. There's no question of bhakti without Sharanagati. The greater the Sharanagati, the greater the bhakti. So therefore, one who has bhakti and surrenders to the Lord, then he'll be fearless, and by his example, he'll become a beacon light or prabhav to create faith in others, and they will also become fearless. Most people are afraid to do what? They're afraid to surrender. They're afraid to surrender, and they're afraid to take shelter of Krishna. Because surrendering means taking shelter of Krishna. Sharanagati and Ashraya. Sharanagati and Ashraya. One is surrender than taking shelter. Mahaprabhu accepted the garland of Sri Jagannath with great respect to display an attitude of service and to preach in this world the purport of the verse, which we're explaining. When persons eager to achieve liberation renounce things related to God, thinking them to be material, their renunciation is called incomplete. So this is along the same lines I mentioned, that a Dandi Sannyasi of Shankara school, he renounces everything. As I mentioned, all sense gratification considers them material. He can't understand how a flower, once it's offered to Krishna, becomes transcendental, becomes not a source of bondage or a source of contamination, but that prasadi flower becomes a source of purification and liberation once it's passed under the nose of Bhagavan. A rose is just a rose is just a rose. That's not correct. An ordinary rose is just a rose, but a rose offered to the nose of Bhagavan will put a close to your material life, to put it briefly. Vaishnava Tulasi Ganga Prasadar Bhakti Tino Se Janena Anye Nahi Dhari Se Shakti. Vaishnava Mahima Tulasi Mahima Ganga Mahima Prasad Bhakti. Only Lord Chaitanya knows the glories of the Vaishnavas, the glories of Tulsi, the glories of Ganga and Mahaprasad. No one else has the ability to know. Sri Mahaprabhu alone knows how to respect the Vaishnava devotees, Tulasi, Ganga, and the Lord's Prasad. Apart from Sri Mahaprabhu, others consider those objects equal to ordinary, material, mundane objects. So Mahaprabhu is our founder of Gaudiya Vaishnava Dharma, and we have come to know of the value of Mahaprasadi Govinde Namabhamani Vaishnava Swampanivataraja Vishwaso. Again, Vishwas. This, because ordinary faith won't carry you the distance. We have to know that one who has Vishwas, deep, strong faith, not Komala Shraddha. Komala Shraddha means pliable, bendable, breakable, let's say, beginning faith in God. Someone may have faith and they take up the process, and that faith doesn't mature to Vishwas, then they give up the process of Krishna Bhakti because they haven't reached that level of Vishwas. Vishwas is deep. Vishwasa. Vaishnav Tulsi Ganga Prasad. No one else has the ability. So we have learned about these things from our parampara and from the teachings of our parampara. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the value and position of all these things to Sanatan Goswami and Sanatan Shiksha. And these teachings are captured in the chapter 21, 2, 3, 4 of the Madhya Lila Chaitanya Charitamritam. And there, Lord Chaitanya, he gives the basic seed idea and many particular specific ideas that later were expanded into a larger work penned by Sanatan Goswami entitled Hari Bhakti Vilas, which was a coordinated effort with the input of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So there he quotes Lord Chaitanya, he explains this verse even about Mahaprasad, Mahaprasadi Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnavi. So this is, and you see in the life and teachings, there's life and teachings. Teachings means the precepts, the philosophy, and life means the lila, tattva and lila. The life and teachings means the life is the lila, and the teachings is the tattva. That's our translation. In English, they say life and teachings. The life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's tattva and lila. Chaitanya Charitamritam, Chaitanya Mango, Sri Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Chandradaya, and many wonderful books by the Parishads, Eternal Associates of Lord Chaitanya, very correctly and intimately portray the truth, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and his pastimes. Because his pastimes are examples of his teachings. He says in his teachings of Shikshastakam, Trinada Pisanichena Tavari Vasishana. So we don't find, he says, a Vaishnava, a follower of Radha and Krishna, worshipper of Radha and Krishna, who's experiencing the finitude of his identity and feeling the pressure of the vast ocean of separation between himself and his beloved Lord, such a person, a sadhaka of bhakti, will feel extremely humble and extremely tolerant and respectful to all, and certainly not even thinking that he has any reason to be respected because he's so insignificant and unqualified, and being a resident of Kali Yuga, he's also wretched. Insignificant, unqualified, and don't forget, wretched, despicable. Mandasya manda mateyo manda bhagya padrata. So therefore, tolerance, humility, respect, that's his teachings, Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Now look at his life and see how much tolerant he was and how much humble Lord Chaitanya was and how much respectful. I never want any respect. If someone was even started to intimate by a few words that Lord Chaitanya was God, then he would put his fingers in his ears and say, Vishnu, 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 Vishnu. I said, listen, if you say anything more about this, I'll leave this Mayapur right now. And when he was in Puri, then he went to Alalanath. And he was staying there in Alalanath during Lord Jagannath's separation time. And people were gathering around and to see him and take darshan and saying, oh, Bhagavan has come and this and that. And he said, I have to leave. I'm leaving this place. So he ran from any kind of recognition or worship. He didn't want any of that. He didn't want any man, honor, distinction. And how did he serve the Vaishnavas? He used to personally serve them in Panihati festival and Jagannath Mandir and all in Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. He would go with his own hand and serve the Jagannath Prasadam to his devotees, hand to plate, personally. And not only that, to show so much respect for his devotees before the Sankirtan party and the Rath Yatra, he would go out. He would put a garland. He would put a fresh flower garland on everyone's neck, and then with his own hand, flower garland before Rath Yatra, the dancing. Then he would take chandan and he would put on their foreheads to relieve them of the hot, the fatigue of the hot day. So this is Vaishnava seva. Vaishnava Seva Nam Ruchi Jiva Dhaya. And how much Jiva Dhaya Gauranga Mahaprabhu showed. These are the principles of Chaitanya Vaishnavism. Jiva Dhaya, Nam Ruchi, Vaishnava Seva. Gauranga showed it all. When he chanted all he named, tears would gush from his eyes. All septic bhavs would appear on his form. Nam Ruchi, how much Ruchi. Then Jiva Dhaya, he would, as we mentioned, preaching to the tigers in Jarikan forest. They're jivas, they're jivatmas. And he told the tiger and deer, hey, ow, come here. Harina, harina, hati. Harina, hati, come, ow. Now listen, you're always eating these poor deer. Now don't eat them anymore. You dance with them. You chant Hare Krishna and dance with them. Then he slapped the lion and tiger. Tom! He didn't have to slap the deer. They're more respectful. So then the lion started jumping, dancing. And then the deer started jumping and dancing. This is Jiva Dhaya. This is great compassion, mercy to the jivas, even in animal form. And then they were so ecstatic, became so purified of all their envy. Because you can only kill someone if you're envious. There's so much envy. All the envy was washed away. And all the anger was washed away. All hunger was washed away. All thirst was washed away. Because the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra brought the deer and the tiger to the spiritual platform. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na Sochati na Kankshati Samasravesha Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Lavate Param. So they had no hankering. The lion had no hankering to eat the deer. And he was not lamenting that he couldn't eat the deer anymore. The Sochati, the Kankshati. So then the lion started kissing the deer. The one that he used to envy and hate and kill, now he's loving and serving and kissing. This is the Jiva Dhaya expression of preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Or what about the puppy dog? The puppy dog, Shivananda Sain's dog, that came escorted the party, the Harinam Sankirtan party from Navadvip Mandal en route to Puri on the Puri Yatra with all the devotees, Awaitacharya and Shivananda and so many other devotees there, Shivananda Sain. Then the dog ran ahead. He couldn't wait. He ran ahead to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya. When I got there, they saw Lord Chaitanya throwing coconut pulp, Mahaprasad, that was Jagannath's Mahaprasad, and Lord Chaitanya had honored it. And then he was taking from his mouth and he was throwing to the dog. And the dog was jumping and eating that and chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gora, Gora, Gora. And then a couple of days later, the dog was not there. And they asked Lord Chaitanya where he went. They said he got liberated. He went back to the spiritual world. So this is Jiva Dhaya. There's no greater doya, compassion, than to liberate the jiva from samsara. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya, Vaishnavera Bhaktiye Dekana Shaksat, Mahashrami Vaishnavere Kari Dandapat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated Vaishnava behavior by offering respect to other Vaishnavas. The sannyas ashram is the topmost among the four. Although Mahaprabhu was situated in the sannyas ashram, wherein no one has to pay obeisances to anyone, because they're considered like way up there, Sri Gaurasundar displayed the pastime of offering obeisances to those situated in other ashrams. If even a young boy is situated in a sannyas ashram, he is offered obeisances by his father and mother. Although a father is supposed to always be respected by his son, as soon as the son takes sannyas, no matter how old he is, the father must offer respect to his sannyasi son. The child is the father of the man. I have a phrase. The child is the father of the man. So, in this case, a son becomes a sannyasi then. You have to offer respects. Sannyasa grahana hoile hena dharma tandra pita si putre karena namaskar. Religious principles prescribe that a father should offer respect to his son after the son accepts sannyas. So this is a principle of dharma. Ata eva sannyas ashram savara vandita sannyasi sannyasi namaskara se vihita. Therefore, the sannyas order is to be respected by all. Sannyas ashram sabara vandita. Vandita means vandanam. We can pray, offer prayers to the sannyasi Thakura. We can offer prayers to the sannyasi, worship, puja. Obviously, respect. That's the substratum of all those activities. And it is prescribed that a sannyasi should offer obeisances to other sannyasis. Sannyasi, sannyasi, namaskara, sevihita. Interesting point, Vrindavan Das Thakura is mentioning here. Sannyas ashram sabara vandita. He's saying is you're not offering obeisances to the individual who's carrying the tridanda or who's wearing the lungi of the sannyasi. It's not obeisances to him per se, but it says here, it says sannyas ashram vandita sabara. Sabara means sarva, everyone. Everyone should respect the ashram, irregardless of who's in those clothes or who's carrying the danda. Respecting the ashram, because chaturvarnyam mayatristvam guna karma vibhagasha. We're respecting the ashram means we're respecting the creator of the ashram. The creator of the four ashramas and the four varnas is God. So respecting the sannyas ashram means respecting God and his creation and his arrangement of varna, ashram, dharma. This is a religious arrangement of God, religious arrangement to purify and elevate the people in the human society to the point of moksha. Perfection, four varnas and four ashrams. So to disregard that or to not pay obeisances upon seeing a sannyasi for some particular mental idea or emotion of dislike for that individual or non-respect, then that would be a breach of dharma and an irreligious activity and actually offensive and a sinful. So that's why it's being mentioned here. And then, because it is a sin, if you commit pap, there's something called prayaschitta. Pap and prayaschitta. Pap means sin, and prayaschitta means the atonement or mollification of, or appeasement of that sin. So the Smriti Shastras, there's the Smritis means the rules, the rule books, the Dharma Shastras. There's 20 major Dharma Shastras, which are called the Smriti Veda. And they have so many rules and regulations for each of the Varnas and Ashramas, and for all the humans in general. So therefore, there's a prayaschitta. When one fails to offer obeisances to a sannyasi, then that's a sin, that's pap. And there's a prayaschitta. Prayaschitta means to reduce or remove that reaction of that sin from one's chitta, consciousness. And it's told here in the Smritis, Devata pratimam tristva yattim ceva tridandinam namaskaram nakuryached upavasena shuddhiti. One who does not offer respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devata, Pratiman, to his deity in the temple, that's Pratiman, or to a Tridandi Sannyasi, Tridandinam, he must purify himself by fasting. Upavas, Shuddhiti, Shuddhiti. Shud means pure, Shuddha, Shuddha. And Upavas means no food. No eating. Ekadasi Brat is called Upavas. Who does it? I don't know, but it's If you don't, that's even worse. The sannyasas tu turiyo yo nishkriyakya sadharmaka natasmad utamo dharmo loke kashna vidyate. The fourth order is sannyas. It's very interesting. In which one renounces all kinds of activities. Nishkriya. Kriya means activities. Akya Sadharmaka. There is no superior religion, religious principles in the world than this. Uttama Dharma. You should know. Loke Kashchana Vidyate. There's no more superior religious principle in the world than this. Sannyasas tu turiyo yo. It's interesting that sannyas is equated with turiya. And this consciousness, we have different levels of consciousness, waking and conscious and subconscious. So there's jagrata is the waking state, then swapna is dreaming, and then this sushupti is deep sleep, and then turiya is fourth level, and that's like deep dreamless sleep where you actually have an OBE, that the atma or soul separates from the physical existence of mind and body, and you see yourself different than your whole physical mental existence. So that's turiya on the sunya, that's the fourth level. There's jagrata, then swapna, then susupti, and then there's turiya. So sannyasa ashram is turiya. It's the fourth ashram, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. And it's also maybe the fourth level of consciousness, because sannyasi is supposed to be on the level of Brahman. Brahman is where you realize that you're not the body, aham brahmasmi. So sannyasi is actually supposed to be in the turiya state of consciousness when he's awake and when he's asleep. At all times he's acting as on the level of Brahman. So that's automatically accomplished by devotees, because the Param Brahman is Krishna, and acting in this world and connecting everything to Krishna is a supreme state of Brahman realization. Tatapi ashram dharma chari vaishnavere shiksha guru sri krishna appane namaskare. Still, the Lord, who is a shiksha guru Krishna, rejected ashram dharma to offer obeisances to the Vaishnavas. Persons situated in the topmost ashram generally show affection to persons situated in lower ashrams. In other words, they preach to them, guide them. But they don't offer them obeisances. But the Shiksha Guru Sri Krishna personally offers obeisances to a Vaishnava. So of course that itself is a major shiksha and a major departure from the sannyasa ashram. And by this, what is the shiksha? What is the instruction? What is the teaching here of Shiksha Guru Sri Krishna? The phrase is Shiksha Guru Sri Krishna in this verse. Sri Krishna is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. The Sri Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is acting in this Chaitanya Bhagavat as a Shiksha Guru to teach someone. Whom? To teach us. The readers, the followers, whoever reads the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that the Vaishnava is the highest, is higher than sannyas. Higher than a sannyasi, higher than a Brahman, higher than anyone, is the Vaishnava devotee of the Lord. There is no one higher than that. And Krishna says in 11th canto of Bhagavatam that I am controlled. Ahami bhakta paradino. Ahamhi bhakta paradino. He said, I, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, I am subservient to my devotee. Paradino. I am controlled by my devotees. They are so great. So this is Krishna telling Uddhava the glories of his devotees. And in Adi Puran, Krishna tells Arjuna, he says, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. A one who is devotee of my devotee, he is really a devotee. And then Parvati asked Lord Shiva, who is the most worshipable entity and in this world? Is it Brahma? Is it you? Is it Brahma? Is it Vishnu? And Lord Shiva answered his wife, oh, fair and lovely faced one. Oh, fair and lovely faced one. Oh, Gauri. Vishnu araranam sarvesham. Araranam sarvesham. Vishnu araranam, like this. So in this first and fourth canto of Bhagavatam, araranam sarvesham Vishnu araranam param, says that of all the worshipful personalities you could imagine, from Indra to Brahma to anyone, araranam sarvesham, of all the aradhanas, all the aradhya devas, all the worshipful, venerable living entities and rulers and masters of this universe, Vishnu araranam param, that Vishnu araranam, Vishnu upasana, worship of Vishnu is the topmost. But then Lord Shiva said, but tadiyanam samarchanam, the devotees of Vishnu are even more worshipable than Vishnu. Tadiyanam samarchanam. Those things, tadiya, of his, of yours, those things that are connected to Vishnu, tadiya, they are equally as worshipable, sama. So here, again, the great exalted position of the Vaishnavas, mentioned by Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Lord Shiva himself is the greatest Vaishnava. And he's saying there's no one dearer to the Lord and more worshipable than the Vaishnavas. So knowing all these things, and the Shiksha Guru, Lord Chaitanya, is stepping out of the role of a sannyasi here, and who would be restricted, and ordinarily as a Dandi sannyasi would be restricted and be refrained from offering obeisances to anyone but a sannyasi. But here we see Lord Chaitanya is offering obeisances to grihasthas and brahmacharis, whoever came in that party, which is a serious departure from his varna, let's say, serious departure from his ashram dharma, the vidhi nisheda, the rules and regulations of his ashram. Why did he do that? Because he's not bound by that sannyas ashram. In fact, Nityananda broke his danda into three parts to say that you're already out, you're gone, you're liberated already. You're not part of this varnashram system. Your sannyas is over. So that was kind of like the sannyas didn't last very long. He took sannyas and on his way to Puri, his danda was broken into three and thrown in the river, maybe Varginadi or some river. And then after that he just became in Radha Bhav and not so much sannyas program. But he's stepped out of that and disregarded the rules of that because he is Shiksha Guru Sri Krishna. So now he's acting by his showing obeisances. He's not acting under the control, or he's not acting according to the parameters or restrictions of the sannyas ashram, but he's acting as God, Swatantra Bhagavan. Swatantra Bhagavan, the completely independent autocrat that Sarvagya Swatantra Bhagavan, that all-knowing, independent Lord, that transcendental autocrat, Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna, Shiksha Guru Sri Krishna, Chaitanya. So as Sri Krishna is independent, and autocratic can do whatever he wants, and Lord Chaitanya is that same Sri Krishna. So then he shows, on behalf of Krishna, and on behalf of, to show the highest Siddhanta, is the Vaishnava. So Vaishnava Seva and respecting of Vaishnavas, there's no higher dharma in this world, no higher principle of religion than to serve the Vaishnavas and worship them. And this topmost principle of religion in this world was exhibited in display by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu right here in this pastime. That's why it says that he's saying only Mahaprabhu we read. Only he knows the glories of the Vaishnavas, and he showed their glories. So one by one, first of all, it's very nice. It's a very systematic presentation by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Like all of our Rasik Jana Acharyas, they're very methodical and systematic teachers of devotion. So he said, Vaishnava, this we read already, review. Vaishnava Tulsi Ganga Prasad Bhakti Tinho Se Janena Anyena Dhari Shakti. No one knows how much, no one else, Jana Anya, no one else knows what power these are carrying. That's really what it says. Nadare Se Shakti. They dhare, dhara, holding. They don't know what power is being held here. And what the dhara shakti means, that the holding power, what power and potency is being held within a Vaishnava, the Vaishnava shakti. What power and potency is within Tulsi, the Tulsi shakti, the Ganga shakti, the Prasad shakti. They don't know. So now one by one, now he's, that's the tattva, that's the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, that Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, this is the teaching. Lord Chaitanya knows. Okay, what's the proof? Now he just explained how he showed, how he knows the Vaishnava Mahima. Now the next thing. Now hear how he exhibited devotion for Tulsi. And then it'll go on to, now hear how he exhibited devotion for Ganga. Now hear how, you follow? So he stated four things, and then he explained each four thing with pastime or leela. This we read the other day in our Gauranga Gita book about under Tulsi. Tulasira bhakti ebe shuna man diya ye rupe kailena lila tulsi laya. This is a Tulsi lila. This is a Gauranga Mahavru Tulsi lila. Listen, suno. Hear attentively the pastime of how Lord Chaitanya exhibited devotion for Tulsi. Tulsi bhakti. Man diya. So much respect he showed to Tulsi. So much devotion and man, respect. Ek kudra bhande divya mritika puriya. Tulasi de kena se gatte aropia. One day Mahaprabhu took a small clay pot, kudra bande, filled it with choice dirt, divya mritika puriya. Divya mritika puriya. Mritika means miti, you know, this clay. Puriya means Akanta Puriya, when we eat the Mahaprasad, we say Akanta Puriya, full to the neck. Akanta Puriya, Vaishnav Savadan, Akanta, Akanta Puriya. That's already too late. So, and then it was called Divya, is divine clay. Why is it divine clay? Because it's from the Sandini Shakti of Balaram, manifested as Sri Ketra Dham. Jagannath Puri, the clay is not ordinary clay, it's Divya Mritika. Divya Mritika. And there's two considerations here. Why is the phrase Divya Mritika Puriya used? One is Divya Mritika, divine clay, spiritual clay, transcendental earth. Chintamani Prakara Sadma Shukalpa Riksha Laksha Vriteshu Suravi Ravipalayantam. Lakshmi Sahasrasata Sambrahma Sevyamanam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. In Brajadam, Navadvipdam, Vrindavandam, every pebble is Chintamani. Because every pebble is chanting Hari Bol and Jai Jagannath and Radhe Radhe. Vrindavan me kan kan bole Sri Radha Radha. It was a song. It's a song and it's a fact. In Vrindavan, every kankan, every single particle, kankan, like we have kanika. Kanika is, I saw one commentary, it's called Shuddha Kanika Vakya. Kanika means a ray. So it's a ray of nectar. Comment Vakya means words, Vakya. Suddha, Suddha means nectar. Radha Suddha Kanika, Kanika. A ray of nectar. Words full of the rays of nectar. Very nice title for a commentary. So it's called Divya because it's the holy Dham of Puri. And that Dham is made of Chintamani. So Chintamani is transcendental, Divya. That's one consideration of Divya Mritika. But another Divya meaning is that it's told in Padma Puran that when Tulsi is planted in a kudra bhande, a clay pot or a, what do you call it, parat or, what do you say? Gamla they call it in Hindi, gamla. When you put the earth in a gamla, a little clay pot, that earth, whether you take the Moscow Raj or the Delhi Raj or the Gorgon Raj, you take some dirt from anywhere in the world and you put it in a pot and you put Tulsi in that pot. As soon as Tulsi roots and her branches touch that dirt, her contact, her prabhav, transforms that dirt into Brajadam. That dirt becomes non-different from Brajadam, becomes non-different from Divya Mritika. It becomes divine, transcendental, spiritual soil. And this is told in the Padma Puran. So it says, wherever Tulsi is growing in the world, that the earth at the base of Tulsi is considered non-different from Sri Dham Vrindavan. This is the most extraordinary point. So now hear attentively how Chaitanya exhibited devotion for Tulsi. So he filled it with choice dirt, as they say. That's translated Divya Mritika. Divya Mritika means choice dirt, and he planted Tulsi in it. So Mahaprabhu personally planted Tulsi in a clay pot. So it's not an inferior service, Tulsi service, or to plant, to take care of Tulsi and get dirt under your fingernails. Gauranga Mahaprabhu did the same thing. Prabhupale, ami tulasire na dekile, ambala nahi vason, yena matsya vine jale. That was in our Gauranga Gita. Mahaprabhu said, as he was doing that, everyone, of course, in India, as you know, if someone does anything, then 100 people gather to watch. If you go out on the street and start digging a hole, then 100 people stand around and pass comments and tell you how to dig the hole and give you better ideas. So now Lord Chaitanya, he's potting this Tulsi, they say. He's putting this Tulsi in a clay pot. So obviously everything he does is not solitary. He's a very popular, well-known personality in Puri. There's so many bhaktas and associates, and Govinda's there, and so many devotees around him, Nityananda Dvaita. And they're watching him. And they're watching his devotion to Tulsi, and they're watching how methodically and carefully and lovingly he's placing Tulsi in her new home inside this clay pot, so gingerly and lovingly and carefully and expertly. And then he turns to them and says, listen, do you realize? If I don't see Tulsi, I cannot survive. I can't live, just as a fish cannot survive out of water. Nahi vason, matsya bine jal. Vasam, vas, brajavas. Nahi vas, nahi vason. Nahi vason, matsya bine jale. Bina means without. Without jal, without water. I'm like a fish without water if I can't see. It says, dekile. Na dekile, nahi vason. If I can't see, na deki tulsi, then I'm like, I can't live. I'm like a fish out of water. Navas, no vas means you have no place to live. He says, nahi vason. Jabe chale sankhya naam karya grahan, tulasi laya agre chale ekajan. So this is called sankhya naam. This is from Vrindavan Das Thakur. And about the same time, a little bit later, maybe almost the same time, a little later maybe, Srinivas Acharya wrote a famous ashtakam called Sadgoswami Ashtakam. And there he glorifies the sadhaka rupa practices, seva sadhaka rupena sirupena chaturhi. He glorifies the seva in sadhaka rupa of the Sadgoswamis, their external seva they perform with their physical body. And then that's called seva sadhaka rupena, and the form, rupa, of their sadhaka form. What did they do? Sankhya purvaka namagana natabi kalavasani krito nidrahara viharako vichayato. Like this. So they, vande rupasanat narugurigo. So Prabhupada sang this song so powerfully and so emotionally, with so much tadatmika bhav with the Goswamis. And he's describing here, Sankhya Purvaka Nam, Sankhya Nam. Purvaka, they began their bhajan every day. Sankhya, their rose bhajan, their daily bhajan. Sankhya Purvaka Nam Agana Natavi. Sankhya Purvaka Nam. Purvaka means they began with Sankhya, counting. Sankhya means counting. They counted the holy name so many times. Then after that, in a sequence called bhajan krama, and bhajan krama means a sequence of step-by-step practices of daily bhajan. The daily is called nitya kriya, or the daily actions. Bhajan nitya kriya, the daily eternal activities or actions in bhajan. Sankhya purvaka nama gana natibhi. So they sang, they chanted the holy name, fixed number, on mala or their fingers, and then they sang astakams, gan. Sankhya purvaka nama gana natibhi. They sang astakams and meditated on the meaning therein, and prayers and stutis and stotrams, Radhakripa Kataksha, these type of prayers, whatever. Lalita astakam, Vrindavan astakam, Vrindadevi astakam, Yamuna astakam, Radhika astakam, Radhakandastakam, Shyamakandastakam, Sri Krishnastakam. And then that was so much they were absorbed, that was so much mental service they were doing, meditating and chanting and praying. Then they have that deep absorption in bhajan, then they would do some physical service, more physical service. They do natibi. Sankhya purvaka nama gana natibi. Natibi means to offer obeisances. They would all go and offer, they would water Tulsi and offer obeisances to Tulsi, and do Dandavat Prikama Tulsi, offering obeisances. They would go to Lila Stalis and offer obeisances, and whatever they saw Vaishnav here and there, they would offer obeisances. Then they would mentally invoke the presence of Vaishnavas in their heart. O Shiranda Sain, and offer obeisances. O Dvaitacharya, they would mentally invoke Avahan, Vaishnava Avahan. They would call him, invite him into their heart, then offer obeisances externally with the eight limbs of their body, Dandavat, Vaishnav Dandavat. That was their seva daily. So here, Mahaprabhu, it says, Sankhya Nam Kariya Grahan. He would, Tosi Laya Agre Ekajan. Whenever Mahaprabhu would chant japa while walking in the street, he would have someone carry a tulsi plant before him. So, ek jana chale agri. Agri means like agra, agraja. We say agraja means his name for Balaram. It came before Krishna. Agri. So, agri chale ek jana. One person went before him, laya tulsi, carrying tulsi. And it says, Chale Sankhya Nam Kariya Grahan. It's interesting that when Lord Chaitanya was walking, he was chanting, it says in the Chaitanya Ashtakam by Srila Rupa Goswami, it says that Lord Chaitanya was chanting on his fingers and counting on a Koti Sutra, something, Kati Sutra. Counting on a Kati Sutra. Sutra means string. He had a string tied around his waist with knots in it, and that way he was counting how many malas he was chanting. He was chanting on his fingers. Grahan. So he was chanting Sankhya a fixed number of rounds every day, but he says he was walking. I guess that's where the japa walk started. The history of, I guess you can trace out the history of japa walking, although generally we should sit tightly in front of Tulsi and meditate, or Tulsi or Thakurji, and meditate deeply on the meaning and so many sound vibration of the Lord's holy name, and sit very straight and very peaceful mind, and not seeing anything and closing our eyes. But we hear Prabhu was Jabe Chale, he was Chale, Chala Chala. He was moving, he was walking. So the japa walk, this is the verse which shows the beginning of japa walks. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antyakanda, chapter 8, verse 157. Because Sankhya Nam means japa, fixed number of rounds. He was chanting his fixed rounds walking. But even he was walking, when he was walking with Tulsi, and that's a little different. So if you're going to do Anukaran, Anukaran means to imitate. of course we don't advise it. But if you're going to Diwanokara, and then you should have one egg jana, laya tulsi, laya. One person should walk in front of you when you're walking up and down the parking lot, chanting japa, carrying tulsi. When he turns, you turn, and you go around together like this, like a tandem. So that's what generally we don't imitate like that. But now, so whenever the Mahaprabhu would chant japa while walking in the street, he would have someone carry a tulsi plant before him. So we can also learn by this that I've often been on yatras or gone places with devotees in Mayapur, Puri, Vrindavan. And we're walking along, and I mentioned to somebody, I say, well, hey, where's your bead bag? Oh, it's in my shoulder bag. I said, come on, we're walking from here to there. It's a 10-minute, 15-minute walk. We can chant a couple of rounds. But there wasn't, say, kirtan going on at that time with this group. So no, I chanted my 16 rounds. I chanted my 16 rounds. That's enough. I said, wait a minute, this is the holy dham. You get 1,000 times of benefit for your chanting. Take advantage of every minute. And just, what if, you know, a car rolls over on top of you and you're spacing out looking at the birds in the tree? Better you keep your hand in your bead bag and chant when we're going here and there. It's part and parcel of our hand, practically. Either our hands are worshipping the deity or serving Vaishnavas or cooking for Krishna. And are washing our clothes with our hands. If we're not doing any of those four things, then we should have our hand in our bead bag and chant. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. So, this is an idea that the Lord was walking in the street, but he was chanting japa. No, that doesn't say on bead, it says Sankinam. He was chanting. Sankhya means keeping a track of the number. And Chaitanya Astakam, Rupa Goswami says he did that by having a knot, had a knotted string on his waist, or he had a string, he would tie a knot in it, another knot. It just says Kati Sutra, a knotted string. So we can learn that if we're going to walk here and there, we should count the holy name wherever we go. Paschate Chalena Prabhu Tulasi Dekya Padaye Ananda Dhara Shyanga Vahiya. As Mahaprabhu followed behind Tulsi, walking down the street, chanting a fixed number of rounds on his fingers, he would continually look at Tulsi as he's walking. And what would happen as he's fixing his gaze on the beautiful form of Tulsi as he's walking behind her, chanting the holy name? Tears would flow from his eyes like the Ganga River. Tears of ecstasy would flow down his body. Tulsi Deki Ananda Dhara Sri Anga Vahiya. Sri Anga Vahiya. His Sri Anga, his beautiful, effulgent, graceful form. Sri Anga Vahiya. Vahiya means it was bathed or flow. There was a cascade of tears flowing. Ananda Dhara. Dhara means, like we say, Rupanuga Dhara. Dhara means current. Dhara means current or river or stream. Rupanuga Dhara means to follow the path or the Rupanuga Vaishnava, to follow the current of thought, the way of bhajan. The river of bhajan, the current of thought, of conception, the current or river of conception of Sri Rupa Goswami Pad, Rupanuga, Rupanuga Dhara. So this is Ananda Dhara, a river of bliss. A river of bliss, a current of bliss would flow over his beautiful limbs. That's when he was walking. Just see the power of Tulsi. And the power of chanting japa, looking at Tulsi. Oh, so many things Lord Chaitanya is teaching. He's showing here specifically the example of how he's honoring Tulsi. First, the verses and pastimes he read showed how, by his own example, Shiksha Guru Sri Krishna, Chaitanya. Chaitanya acted as Shiksha Guru Sri Krishna. What did he teach? What was his teachings? He taught how to respect and honor the Vaishnavas. and he's teaching how to respect and honor Tulsi, and teaching how to respect and honor Ganga, and teaching how to respect and honor Prasad by his example, by his pastimes. So now we're hearing the second item of his teaching. So that's when he's walking. He wasn't always doing japa walk. He also sat down to chant japa, which we also do. There's one video of Prabhupada walking in Los Angeles, and in his room, which he had painted blue, kind of sky, baby Gopal baby blue walls. I've been there, I've sat there, I've chanted in that room. And I actually joined there in that temple, LA. And then the woodwork around the windows, the outside woodwork, was painted gold leaf. And the windows were white wood. And the curtains were, or they still are, I suppose, kind of a burned sunset orange saffron color. And the idea was it was Prabhupada is yellow and blue, Shaman Gauri, Nilambara Radhas, Nilambara, like this, blue and gold, Radha and Krishna. But basically the theme was blue and gold. It was Prabhupada's favorite colors, naturally. So he had one rocking chair in the corner, and then another corner he had his desk where he would write, and then he had bookshelves. And one door goes to the bathroom, one door is entrance down the hall and down the stairs. There's a window overlooking the alley there also, and another window looking out the back of the temple. So he would walk up and down, he would pace up and down in his room. The room is about 25 feet by 15 or so. It's quite large, actually. Maybe longer, 30. And he would go, and he said, if you're chanting japa when you're sitting down, if you get tired, Prabhupada said, if you get tired, then do like I do. You can pace up and you can pace back and forth in your room chanting Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is walking behind Tulsi. Now another point, there's so many points, unlimited points. It said that Lord Chaitanya followed behind Tulsi, looking at the Tulsi in the pot being carried on the head of the man walking in front of him. And he was chanting his japa sankhya, and he was totally absorbed in the holy name and Tulsi, and he started crying. So now it shows that when Lord Chaitanya went on a japa walk, he didn't go sightseeing. He said, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Some people walk and they look here and there, and it's called space out. He is totally fixed. It was sthitadhi. His intelligence was totally fixed on Tulsi. Just, there's Tulsi. He wasn't looking to the right or to the left. This is tatrak. This is tatrak in yoga concentration. Staring at candle flame without blinking your eyes, trying to concentrate your on the third eye, the trikuta, the agya chakra. It's called agya, the order chakra, the command. It's called the command spot. Agya. Agya means the command spot, or directing, the director. Agya means the director, the command, the order. So that's between the eyebrows where ladies put their bindi to establish their order in the family life. Establish their command. Listen to me. No, not exactly like that, but so that's when he's walking, he's looking at Tulsi. Then he would sit down to chant japa, that's what we read here. Sankhya nam laite jaistani prabhu vaise tataya rakena tulasire prabhu pashe. Prabhu pash, just like Hindi. Tulsi prabhu pash. When Prabhu Gauranga would sit down to chant japa, a Tulsi plant would be placed next to him. Gauranga chanted a fixed number of names while sitting next to the Tulsi plant. So there it is, Sankhya Nam. When he was walking on his japa walk, he chanted a fixed number of names. He didn't just chant randomly half a round or a quarter of a round or whatever, a fixed number. And when he sat down next to Tulsi, he chanted a fixed number. Sri Gaura Sundar exhibited the pastime of associating with Keshava Priya Tulsi. Well, that's nice. She's Keshava Priya. Krishna Nandini, Krishna, was it? Om Tulasyamani, no, there's one prayer. Krishna Nandini, Krishna Jivani, Krishna Jivani, Krishna Nandini. I forget the different names for Tulsi. There's one prayer in Padma Puran. Vishwapavani, Vishwapujita, Brinda Brindavani. That she is Vishwapavani, she purifies the entire universe, Tulsi Devi. She's Vishwapujita, she's worshipped everywhere in the universe. And she's Krishna Jivani Nandini, Pushpasara Tulasi. Krishna Jivani Nandini, she's Krishna Jivani, she's the very life of Krishna. Krishna Jivani Nandini, and she gives great bliss and joy, Nanda, to Krishna. Krishna Jivani Nandini, Pushpasara Tulasi, and she's the essence, the sar of all flowers. Vishwapavana Vishnupujita, she's worshipped all over the universe. Even Lakshmi Devi worships Tulsi in Vaikuntha. And Satyabhama also does Tulsi Puja in Dwarka. So she is so worshipable. So here she's Keshava Priya Tulsi. He exhibited this pastime of associating with Tulsi to teach Shiksha Guru Sri Krishna, Gauranga, to teach those to not to think of Tulsi as ordinary. Tulsi is Tadiya, related to Krishna, as I mentioned earlier, Tadiya Dasamarchanam. The endeavors of those who are eager to serve Krishna never go in vain. And it says persons who worship Krishna but don't worship Krishna as devotees, they are things related to him. They do not attain Krishna's mercy. So pride is not a good idea. We'll stop there a little.